Hinduism is coming up in the world. And how does someone know that they are a Hindu? Well, there are over a billion Hindus, but there are millions more. How does he know he's not Christian? How does he know he's not Jewish? And how does he know that he's not Muslim? Because if you believe in the existence of an all-pervading force that binds this universe together, the all-pervasive Satchitananda, obviously not Christian, Jewish, or Muslim. If you believe that you send energy out and it comes back to you through other people, through situations, and the law of karma, which never fails, you're obviously not a Christian, Muslim, or Jewish. And if you believe in reincarnation, obviously you're not Jewish, Muslim, or Christian. And obviously you crossed over to Sanatana Dharma. Many people say Sanatana Dharma is the real name of the religion. It's true. It's not Hinduism. But look at it this way. Hinduism, I look at it as an English word. But the French have another pronunciation of it. So do the Russians, so do the Italians. Hindutva in India, each section of India and each culture and each language says it differently. But they all the countries pronounce Sanatana Dharma. So the words are interchangeable, depending on which language that we speak. In Tamil language, it's Samya, it's not Hindu. It means the same thing. So sacrifice is the first step of becoming religious. I had the opportunity to talk to the trainee Madhavasi sadhus of the Swaminarayana Fellowship. There were 125 there in Rajasthan. And they live a very strict life as sadhus. They look at sannyas in a very strict way, and they have a strict code of ethics. And they don't think of girls. They renounce that. They sacrifice that in their thoughts. And we talked about men's talk. And I said, even in your dreams, what do you dream about? You may live a strict life here in the monastery, but what do you dream about? You dream about girls? Half the group put their head down. I said, huh? You have to impress your subconscious mind to the point where you're a sadhu, even during sleep. In your wildest dream, you're a sadhu. Work on that one. And they appreciated the talk. Sannyasin life is a very strict life. That's why there are basically no women sannyasins. Women brahmacharini, yes. But it's like, women want to join the army. They want to join the navy. They want to join the marines and become airplane pilots and enter the men's world and become like men. But that's also happening in modern Hinduism. Not working out well because of the competitive attitude, which also has to be sacrificed and renounced. There is a distinct difference between men and sannyasins and brahmacharinis. Each in its place works out really well. So as Hinduism moves into the future, in the world, it is taking the shape more and more of an ancient time, because everyone is trying out new things and finding out they don't work, and then they revert to traditional attitudes and beliefs and customs and find out that they do work. Where does culture come from? It comes from the temple. We learn to approach one another in mannerisms and talk and attitude, belief, as we approach the deities. And when the temple goes, the culture goes. Look at the Hawaiian people. They became Christian. Their losses were great. They lost their temple, they lost their culture, they lost their language, and they lost their race. They lost their temples, they lost their culture, they lost their language, they lost their race. They lost everything. They lost the family unit. I remember saying 20 years ago to the Hindu community that came from India when the President Kennedy released immigration barriers, that this is the first group that ever came to America without their spiritual leaders with them. This is the first group that did not bring their ministers. This is the first group that did not bring their priests. The Germans came and brought their Lutheran ministers. The Catholic came and brought their priests and monsignors. The Jewish came and brought their rabbis. Islam came and brought imams. But the Hindus were the first group that came to gouge our country to take and go home. And the message out went out wide and clear. And then the children came, one after the other. There were hospital bills to pay, larger houses to buy, education to think about. Mom and Dad both worked. The homes became hotels without the feeling of mother. And as Swami Chinmayananda said, a bastard generation arose. Then finally there were a few that listened. Said, we need to build a social hall so we can get together and communicate. But we can't raise money for a social hall, so we will raise money for a small temple. Everybody will give money for a temple. Social hall will be big, we'll wear our shoes, we'll have a dry bar, and the temple will be small. That's a money raising thing. Then one temple, social hall got built with money that came from the temple, and finally the temple took over the social hall, took over the community, and priests began to come from India. The priests were treated like hospital orderlies, you know, like empty the bedpan for me, please. Mistreated. And of course, the bad karma goes to management. And now we have wonderful temples, priests that are well trained, wonderful swamis are going through the country. And what is heartening to see that the bastard generation, which is raised up by the hair of their head with no mom and no dad, beaten mentally and physically to attain and make money, are becoming a little religious. When I visit the temples, there are 25, 28, 22-year-olds there. Why? To heal the wounds of the nuclear family that blew up. To heal the wounds of the hate that they have for their parents, physically, emotionally, and verbally beating them half to death, and some did commit suicide. And what's also heartening to see, the wounds are becoming healed, and they're finding forgiveness, and renouncing the past, and finding forgiveness and love in their heart, and raising their children, hopefully, in a more loving and kindly way.